joining us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line to go into great detail as to exactly why they're rolling, how they're rolling. He covers the 49ers for ESPN.com. He is Nick Wagner, and he joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Nick, I understand you're already in town. Welcome to Phoenix to cover this game tomorrow. We appreciate you coming on for a few minutes.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks for welcoming me with this beautiful weather here. This is great. I liked it. I was expecting a little warmer. Yeah,
we,
it's awesome.
We beg for late October, you know, after being with 115 during the summer. So when we get to late October, we're happy. How is this team that won four games last year, this team that won 25 games over the last, like, 5 years, how is this team undefeated right now?
Yeah, the how and the whys are questions that I ask myself every day, especially as someone who spent 16 years covering the NFL and never covered a team with a winning record. So I'm still trying to kind of figure it out myself, guys. But seriously, you know, the thing with this team, I think that everyone went into last year saying this is a team that has a chance to be kind of that surprise team. You know, at the end of 2017, after Jimmy Garoppolo arrived, they won five straight games to end that year, and they became kind of the hype team. There was a lot of buzz around them going into last year. Garoppolo gets hurt in game three. The season goes awry. They only win four games, but I think a lot of people believed that that team was actually going to be a lot better than what they were, and they lose their starting quarterback and everything went down the tubes. And so they get the number two pick with an already pretty good roster that was getting better game by game. They add Nick Bosa, who's clearly been a difference maker right away. They get Dee Ford, who's also been a difference maker. That, you know, that was the big thing that they were really missing, was that edge rush. Now that's one of the most dominant units in the league, is that defensive line. They add Quan Alexander. They've made some really quality additions in the offseason, and it kind of pushed them over the top. And I think when you factor in an offense that's been under Kyle Shanahan now for 3 years, a lot of what he does, particularly in the run game, it takes a little bit of time for it to all come together. Even if you remember at his time when he was with Atlanta, it wasn't until his second year there that offense really took off. And so I think you're seeing kind of the perfect storm of all those things right now.
As a singular addition, and going, you know, in the weeks leading up to the draft, we were having conversations about what the Cardinals should do at number one and who they should draft. As a singular addition and as a game-changing personnel move, just how much of a difference has Bosa made in everything that has gone on with that defense?
It's transformative. I don't think it's overstating it to say that it has transformed the entire defense, because they looked at this, the Niners looked at this offseason as a chance to really bolster a position that had really struggled. You know, they didn't have a guy, an outside edge rusher, who had, I think, more than 6.5 sacks since Aldon Smith came in 2011, 2012, 2013, when he was doing his thing. And so they go out and they get Bosa, and they believe right away he had a chance to be special just because of how polished he was. Some of the pass rush moves and the technique and all those things that he had, and he's a better athlete than maybe he was getting credit for. And I think they felt just supremely lucky that the Cardinals hired Cliff Kingsbury, and that set off a chain of events that dropped Bosa to them at number two. And so even as late as the night of the draft, they were still nervous that maybe something was going to happen. You know, there'd be something funky like a trade or something, and they wouldn't get him. But once they did, and you pair that with what they got in Dee Ford, it was really kind of the missing piece, and there's been a domino effect that has made everything on the team better, starting with the defense, but I think that trickles over to what they have offensively too, and you're seeing the results.
I'm fascinated by this because I know the 49ers were worried, because if the Cardinals didn't take Kyler Murray, they were taking Nick Bosa. That's a fact. They were going to take Bosa. What would the 49ers have done if the Cardinals had taken Bosa? What would they have done with the second pick?
Yeah, there's been kind of conflicting ideas there. I know one of the things that they considered as a possibility was taking Quinnen Williams, you know, who went number three to the Jets. They really liked Quinnen Williams. The problem with Quinnen Williams was that his best position was going to be three technique defensive tackle, and the best player on the team coming into the year, you know, before they got guys like Bosa, is DeForest Buckner, who plays three technique. So it would have been a little bit of an odd fit. There would have been maybe a way to make it work. I personally think the more likely scenario is that they would have tried to maybe move down a couple three spots. The Raiders were sitting there at number four. Maybe they would have tried to move up for a Quinnen Williams, or you know, if they could have found a smaller deal that would have only moved them down three or four spots and then gone for someone like Josh Allen from Kentucky, was another guy that they really liked. The thing about Allen is that he bears a lot of similarities to Dee Ford, And the thing they really liked about Bosa was that he and Ford kind of brought something different to the table. You know, Bosa has a little bit more power, anchors a little bit better in the run game, and Ford is a little bit more of a speed rusher. And so I think that's ultimately the way they would have gone, but that's assuming, of course, that they could have found a trade partner.
Nick Wagoner, he is joining us from ESPN.com. He covers the San Francisco 49ers. He's already in town getting ready to cover tomorrow night's Thursday night football game, this division game between the Cardinals and the 49ers. Normally, when you see a team undefeated the way the Niners are, the natural inclination really for any team, any media base, is to talk about the quarterback and what the quarterback has done. Looking at the way you guys are winning games, I don't want to say it doesn't have anything to do with Jimmy G. Obviously, it has something to do with him. But the run game is so central to what the Niners are doing offensively. It certainly doesn't have as much to do with Jimmy G as it does your typical undefeated team in the NFL, does it?
No. I mean, you're right. And I think the thing that, you know, when people talk about the Shanahan offensive tree, they always kind of think about, you know, Star Wars passing games, right? Throwing the ball all over the field, spreading things out, getting the job done. You know, you see it with, you saw it with Sean McVay with the Rams the last couple of years. And I think that they forget that everything that offense is based on spins off of the run game. It's that outside zone concept. You know, Bobby Turner has been the running backs coach for the Shanahan family, you know, going way back to the Mike Shanahan days and on into now with Kyle in San Francisco. And everything they do spins off that with play action. You know, you look at some of the things that you know, Sean McVay was able to do with Todd Gurley. I think that was the reason that they were so successful. And one of the reasons that they've taken a step back a little bit offensively this year is they don't have that ability. Meanwhile, the Niners have kind of taken that whole idea, and because they've been so good running the ball, they've almost taken it to another level of leaning on that run game and then spinning into the play action passes. And the other thing you have to keep in mind here too, especially over the last 3 weeks, they've been without both of their starting offensive tackles, Joe Staley and Mike McGlinchey, both former first round picks. And they've been without their starting fullback, Kyle Juszczyk. And so they've had to kind of find new ways to have success running the ball. They were really able to do that last week against the Panthers, of course. But I think that's part of the way that they're able to protect Jimmy Garoppolo. But the other thing that Garoppolo's done really well that's helped them is he's first in the league when it comes to completing passes on third down that gain first downs, that keep the chains moving. So when they have asked him to come through and make some plays, he threw a game-winning touchdown against the Steelers at the end of that game. He's been able to come through. I still think there's going to be some times where he's going to be asked to do a little bit more, but we're going to have to kind of wait and see how he does in those situations. But at least for right now, he's doing exactly what they're asking of him, with the exception, of course, of the one or two bad passes, bad decisions he seems to make every game that leads to a turnover.
Yeah, I don't know that the 49ers wide receiving core scares anybody. I know Emmanuel Sanders, you know, you can talk about that addition. He got the most snaps last week out of any of the wide receivers. But when you look at that wide receiver room, is it anything that's really dominated any of these games they've won?
No, not at all. And I think it's you know, especially before they acquired Emmanuel Sanders, it was probably the biggest question mark on the teams in terms of a position group anyway, because, you know, they've invested a lot of relatively high draft capital over the last couple of years in that position. You know, they took Dante Pettis, who they moved up for last year, second round in the draft. This year, they doubled down. They took Deebo Samuel in the second round. They took Jalen Hurd in the third round. Hurd is on injured reserve right now, and Samuel's kind of dealt with a couple of nagging injuries, and he's been a really good gadget player but hasn't necessarily been that kind of outside threat that they're looking for. So getting Sanders was a big move for them, and it was kind of an all-in move. It was a, hey, we're in a situation here where we can win this division. If we win the division, it opens everything up. We'll take our chances. And Emmanuel Sanders is a free agent after this year, and they were still willing to give up, you know, a third and fourth round pick to get him and a fifth round pick from the Broncos. And their hope is that he can open some things up on the outside. It'll make George Kittle's life a little bit easier, you know, running seam routes and some of the things that he does really well in the middle of the field. And if that happens, then it could open some things up for this offense that haven't previously been there, in part because of what you're talking about with that receiver group.
Yeah, Nick, good stuff. We appreciate it. Enjoy our weather. Sorry it's a little chilly, but we're not complaining around here. We like a little chilly this time of year. So.
you got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.